Join me, if you will, in the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, Matthew chapter 26. While you're turning there, be much in prayer for Sandra Wright, if you will, as she is retired and struggling mightily with it. I saw her just this morning before the service, and she seemed so forlorn and beside herself with grief at her lost career. Matthew chapter 26. And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, "You know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified." Let me read that again. "Ye know." He's speaking to who? Disciples. "Ye know." What was his expectation? That they know this. Okay? "Ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified." How many of you know that sometimes your expectation with your kids is not always met? You know this, right? I know this. And then they don't know it. Sometimes the disciples just act like kids, didn't they? He expected them to know this. "Then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people under the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. And they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. Now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor." Man, don't you just love feigned righteousness? "When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her." We're fulfilling that prediction today. It's a familiar story. We know from John chapter 12 that the woman is Mary of Bethany. Now, this is the house of Simon. Assuming Simon is not their father, they've gathered at a neighbor's house. It would be reasonable to conclude that Martha and Lazarus were there as well, but we don't know that. But we know Mary was. And there's a lot of things that we could pull from this. This story is in here in Matthew 26. It's in Mark 14. It's in John chapter 12. And when you put the three together, you get some interesting complementary evidence. We know that according to John 12, not only did she anoint his head, she anointed his feet. Anointing somebody's head is one thing. Anointing their feet is quite another. I love my children very much. I often kiss them on the head. I rarely, if ever, kiss them on the feet. It's different. You know? Now, my son can get his head equally as dirty as his foot, and I'm not sure how he does that, but I think it's from hanging out with the Davies kids, probably. Yes. Especially the youngest one. Yeah. We know from Mark and John that the ointment was spikenard. It was exceedingly, exceedingly expensive. It was kept in an alabaster box that she broke to release it. The value of it was put at a minimum of 300 pence. Some would say that was the equivalent of a year's salary. Imagine that. Let's just take a ballpark year's salary average of in here. Let's say $30,000, $40,000. Do you have any one thing that's worth that other than your house and maybe a vehicle? And if you did, Would you destroy it for Jesus? We could talk about how contagious a bad attitude can be. Because if you look at these three accounts, John tells us that Judas complained. Mark tells us that some complained. Matthew tells us the disciples complained. That sounds like a contagious bad attitude, doesn't it? Judas started it. By the way, Judas was a liar. He didn't care a thing about the poor. He was a thief. He was the treasurer of the disciples. He's who I believe Matthias replaced as the treasurer. Paul replaced Judas in the spiritual context. He wasn't interested in the poor. But his bad attitude spread even to the disciples that would have been. There's something to be learned from that. But what I'd like to do this morning, just for a few minutes, is I just want to focus on Mary's message. You see, when Mary did what she did, she brought forth a profound three-part message, one that I think we desperately need today. And so that's what I'd like to speak to you about this morning, Mary's message. What was she saying then and now in what she did? Father, help us, we pray, to glean from this passage exactly what we need. I sure do need your help, Lord. I cannot do this without you. I pray that you speak to hearts. May Christians be helped. If somebody's lost here today, I pray they'd be saved. And I pray that Jesus would be made much of. Be with us now, we pray, and do what only you can do. For it's in Christ's name we ask these things. Amen. So they're sitting at a meal. Jesus is aware of what's coming. He's tried to make his disciples aware of what's coming. And in walks Mary. And she's carrying a box that would have looked something like that. And she takes it and she breaks it. Now, if you've ever dropped a bottle of perfume or cologne, you know how pungent that can be. What's meant to be given in little spritzes is not nearly as pleasant in its full capacity. I found that out the other day. I dropped a bottle of cologne on the tile in our bathroom. Our bathroom smells magnificent. Now, it didn't that day. That day, it was quite pungent. I'm like, man, why do I even wear this stuff? Good night. Cleaned it all up, glass and everything. You can imagine what kind of an impact it had on people. They're sitting there and they're eating, and all of a sudden, good night, Mary, what are you doing? She broke that box open. But when she did that, and when she anointed Jesus' head and his feet, she was delivering a message that was three-pronged. And her message was delivered to the Lord. It wasn't delivered to the disciples. It wasn't delivered to Simon. It wasn't delivered to anybody. It was between her and Jesus. What was she saying? Number one, Lord, I love you immensely. I love you immensely. Now, I can love somebody, but it doesn't mean I love them immensely. The truth is, I love all of you. But if I'm candid with you, my love for you is not the same kind of love that I have for my wife and my kids. And I would gladly do more for them than I would for you. Just because that's the nature of things. Now, I do love you all very much. Please don't think I don't. But compared to my wife, I love her immensely. I'd like to believe that I would without hesitation give my life for her. I truly believe I would. I don't want to sound prideful about it. I truly believe I would. Her, my kids. I love her immensely. What's Mary saying here? She broke that box and there was no turning back. It's different than taking the lid off, isn't it? Lord, it's all yours. And I couldn't take it back if I wanted to. Why? Because I love you immensely. Truth is, when I stood at that altar in McDonough, Georgia, and pledged my heart and hand to my wife, that's what I was saying. It's yours. And I can't take it back if I wanted to. Lord, I love you immensely. I don't know what prompted her to do that, to give him that. There's plenty of things she could have sacrificed, but whatever it was, she was obedient to it. Because I think she understood a real simple principle. Whatever you won't give him is an idol. Lord, I love you immensely, but I want to keep this. Then you don't love him immensely. Because when you love somebody immensely, like Mary loved Jesus, that person is entitled to everything. It's interesting. Peter once said to Jesus, "No, Lord." You know there's a mutually exclusive? If you say no, he's not your Lord. And if he's really your Lord, you won't say no. But Peter learned to love him immensely. What's she saying? Lord, I love you immensely. How do we measure that? The same way Jesus told us to. You remember the lawyer that came to Jesus trying to trick him? What's the great commandment in the law? What did he say? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. I want you to love me immensely. That was her message. Lord, I love you immensely. Second thing she was saying, Lord, I'm listening to you intently. Something interesting about Mary. At that moment, I think it's safe to say that other than Jesus, she was the only person on the planet that understood what was about to happen next. Jesus had told his disciples over and over and over again. Luke chapter 10, Matthew 12, John 2, Luke chapter 9, over and over and over again. I am going to be taken, I am going to be crucified, I am going to die, and I will raise again. And nobody got it. And we think, my soul, how dense were these guys? But how many times has God spoken to us clearly and plainly from his word, and we don't get it because our hearts just aren't listening? What's Mary saying? Lord, I'm listening to you. And Jesus knew she was, because Jesus described why she was doing what she was doing. She's anointing my body for my burial. She knows I'm going to die. She's got it. Whereas all of you do not. Because she's been listening. We have a really clear example of her listening. Brother Raven preached about it, I believe, the other night. Mary's cumbered about with much serving. Martha, what was Mary doing? She was sitting at Jesus' feet, listening. Can I just tell you something, beloved? Not to re-preach his message. All the service in the world is doing very little good if you're not listening while you do it. Lord, I'm listening to you intently. I know what's coming next. It's interesting to me. And this has been captured in even some spiritual songs. That oil, that fragrance, that ointment would have traveled down his head onto his robe. Whatever soldier got that robe smelled that ointment. But even more than that, it was so penetrating as they beat him. It released the fragrance of that ointment that was on his skin. Kind of makes me think about in the Old Testament when it talks about a sacrifice being a sweet savor. She said, "Lord, I'm listening to you intently." That's not all she was saying. "Lord, I love you immensely. And I'm listening to you intently. One more thing, Lord. I'm looking for you imminently." If you go to John and you go to the other Gospels for the resurrection, you find out there were a number of ladies that were around his cross. Mary, his mother, was there at his cross. Mary Magdalene, Salome, Mary the mother of James was there. Mary the wife of Cleophas was there. You find out at the tomb was Mary Magdalene, Salome, Mary the mother of James. But noticeably absent from his cross and noticeably absent from his tomb was Mary of Bethany. Surely someone as devoted to him, someone who loved him as much, would have been there. But she wasn't. Why? Because Mary loved him so much and because she listened so well, she understood that the best thing for me to do is not to sit at his cross or to watch his tomb. It's to look for his return. What were the ladies going to the tomb to do? Put spices on his body. She did it beforehand. Why? Because she knew he wouldn't need it. She knew if she was with that group, she'd be too late. Perhaps Martha walks through the house and says, "You going to the tomb?" "No." "Why not?" "Because I love him. And I've been listening. And he said the third day he'd rise again. I'm not going. I'm looking for him. Because he could appear at any moment." Let me read you something from Luke chapter 9. Verse 22. He straightly charged them, commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain." But he didn't stop there. "And be raised the third day." She loved him. She listened. So she started looking. What's the so what? This one's an easy one. If you're saved today, how do I negotiate this life? How do I navigate through all the pitfalls? How do I please God? I didn't say it was easy, but it's simple. Love him immensely. Listen to him intently. And look for him imminently. What's imminently mean? At any time. It's been my experience. If I love him, I'm listening. And if I'm listening, I'm looking. If I'm not looking, it's because I stopped listening. And if I've stopped listening, it's because I don't love him like I should. What's the memorial of Mary? What do we take from her? That it is our duty, privilege, honor, and joy to love him immensely, to listen to him intently, and to look for him imminently. That's Mary's message to us. Let's stand together with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, please. And before we have our time of invitation, church membership, and as far as your religion, it has nothing to do with any of that. We're sinners. We're sinners by birth, we're sinners by nature, and we're sinners by choice. It's true of all of us. And because God is holy and righteous, he cannot and will not tolerate sin. It must be punished. It must be dealt with. And the only way that we can bear punishment for our sin is to go to hell, to be out of his presence for all eternity. That's the only way we could pay for it. And Jesus wouldn't hear of it. So Jesus came to this earth, born of a virgin, took upon himself a robe of flesh, lived a perfect life for 33 years. And then, when the time was right, God took your sin and my sin and placed it on Jesus and poured out his wrath on his only begotten Son. Jesus paid the price for our sin. He died, they buried him in that tomb, and on the third day he rose again. And if you would be saved, you follow the good advice of Paul. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You know what it comes down to? It comes down to realizing that he loved you, listening to his word. And then you can be prepared to look for his return. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to let me pray for you, although I certainly would. I'm going to ask you, when she starts playing, with heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to ask you to come. I'm going to invite you to come and let somebody take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. That's what I'm going to ask you to do. If you're saved, this is the question you ask yourself. Do I love him immensely? Am I listening intently? And am I looking imminently?